Welcome, and thank you for joining us on our inaugural 2025 podcast edition of This Week in State Tax, also known as TWIST. My name is Harley Duncan, and I'm with the state and local team in KPMG's Washington National Tax. Our guest today is Drew Olson, the managing director in the Chicago KPMG office. He also serves as the KPMG State Tax Resource Network indirect tax specialist for Illinois and the city of Chicago. He is a veteran of 25 years in state and local tax, most of it in the Windy City and the land of Lincoln. Earlier this year, the Illinois legislature enacted several significant changes in the state sales and use tax that became effective on January 1. In addition, just before things began to wind down for the holidays, the city of Chicago pieced together a 2026 budget that contained several increases in city tax rates that also became effective on New Year's Day. We wanted to draw on Drew's significant experience in Illinois to explain these changes so as how to avoid any career-limiting moves by our listeners if they were to miss one. Welcome, Drew. How about we start with some of the sales tax changes, or the retailer's occupation tax, as you all call it in Illinois. I'm particularly interested in the changes to lease transactions and the change in ROT sourcing rules that seem to make a complicated area even a bit more complicated than it already was.
Great. Thanks, Harley. Thanks for having me. Yeah, Illinois provides some job security for me, but there's definitely been a lot of changes in the last few weeks, particularly in the lease tax with the city of Chicago and the taxation of leases by the state. In terms of the taxation of leases by the state, historically, Illinois was a little bit different than other states. They would treat the lessor as the deemed end user of that property, and the lessor would owe use or sales tax on the property they leased, and the lessees wouldn't pay sales tax on the lease stream as they do in other states. There's been a lot of opposition to this over the last few years, and it's gradually been changing. In 2016, they changed the taxation of leased vehicles. So you think about anything from a Chevy to a 15-passenger van, the taxation of those leases changed to be taxed on the value of the lease. The law that we're talking about that changed effective 1/1/25 doesn't impact those. That hasn't changed. The changes only impact leases of tangible personal property. And what is effective 1/1/25 is that now Illinois would become a lease stream state like most other states. So lessors can acquire the property with a resale certificate, and they simply collect sales tax where the property was delivered or where it is being used on the lease stream payments. So that's the major change. For leases that are currently in effect already, lessees wouldn't be paying tax on the lease stream payments, but effective 1/1/25, they will be. So for lessors, what historically they were able to do when they deployed property in Illinois and they paid tax on that property, if they were a true lessor, the sale of that property when the property came off lease was an isolated occasional sale, so there was no tax on it. But if the lessor was also a retailer and they paid tax on that property when they placed it in service as a lease and when it comes off lease, the tax they collect on that sale, they're able to keep up to the tax they originally paid. That will no longer be in effect as of 1/1/25 for any leases deployed after that time frame, because they will have been acquired with a resale certificate. So those are some of the major changes there. Interestingly enough, the city of Chicago was able to lobby the legislature, and any leases that take place in the city of Chicago are exempt from the tax on the lease stream payments, because those leases will be subject to the Chicago personal property lease transaction tax, as opposed to the state sales tax on the lease stream payments. And those are the major changes there as it applies to the taxation of leases in Illinois.
And so it doesn't apply to vehicles and other items that need to be titled and registered? Is that?
Yeah, I try to bucket it. For me, the easiest way is to bucket these in three buckets. The first bucket is my titled vehicles, Chevys through 15-passenger vans. When I lease a 36-month lease for a car, And let's just make the numbers easy, $100 a month. So $3,600 over a 3-year lease. That's my tax base. And I pay that with my first lease payment. And when that vehicle comes off lease, the lessor can resell it or release it. The second bucket is all other titled property, boats, vessels, dump trucks. Nothing's changed with those. When a lessor acquires that property, they pay tax up front still. And no tax on the lease stream payments. The third bucket is what we talked about, which is leases of tangible personal property. So after 1/1/25, any leases placed in service after that date, the lessor can acquire them with a resale certificate, and they simply collect ROT or sales tax to everybody else on those lease stream payments.
All right, I got it. There was also a change in the sourcing rule for ROT for certain sales by certain types of retailers. And given the mix of origin-based sourcing that Illinois has for some transactions and destination for others, particularly after Wayfair and changes in law, can you just explain, I guess, as briefly as we can think of, what the change was and then what that might mean, sort of in big picture?
The sourcing of sales in Illinois has gotten to be very complicated. Maybe just a really brief history. Over 10 years ago, order acceptance, where the order was accepted, that's where the rate was determined. After the Hartney Oil case, I think it was in 2013 or 14, we adopted a composite of the selling activities test. And so there was a 5-part test, and where 3 of those 5 activities occurred, that's where you source the sale. In 2021, 1/1/21, we had the Level the Playing Field Act. And essentially, that changed the sourcing rules for marketplace sellers, one, making them the retailer. And so they would have to collect at the destination. Marketplace facilitators selling on behalf of marketplace sellers, they would have to collect sales tax at the destination, which would include local taxes, or remote sellers. Remote sellers that didn't have any kind of physical presence in Illinois had to collect tax at the destination. And that was a major change for Illinois because Illinois is an origin-based state. Illinois to Illinois transactions remained unchanged. Those were still origin sales. So there was sort of a conflict between Illinois vendors that had an Illinois presence but may have sourced their inventory from out of state. So if there was a vendor that had an Illinois presence, whether it was a warehouse, employees, or a brick-and-mortar physical presence, and the inventory was coming in from out of state into state in order to satisfy a sale, that sale could still be sourced under the use tax rules at 6.25. That caused a lot of consternation. And ultimately, with the law that's coming into effect 1/1/25 now, all sales that originate from out of state will be destination. So sort of distilled down, if you're a marketplace facilitator selling your inventory or a marketplace facilitator selling on behalf of others, you source to destination in Illinois. If you're a remote seller with zero physical presence in Illinois, you still source at destination. If I'm an Illinois-based business and I am fulfilling a sale, but my inventory and activity is coming from out of state, I now have to source destination. And the major change there is that the sale is now characterized under the retailer's occupation tax versus a use tax. And one unintended consequence from that is that Illinois had a temporary storage exemption under the use tax regime. So if a sale came in from out of state, was in Illinois and only temporary Illinois, and was to leave the state to never to come back, that wasn't a taxable transaction. Now it's under the ROT, which is a sales tax transaction for which there currently is no temporary storage exemption. So now it's basically rendered any kind of temporary storage exemption obsolete. It no longer exists. Sales that originate in Illinois to an Illinois customer are still origin. So we're a little bit all over the board.
So one other state change I just want to at least identify, because I'm probably a minority of one, but I always thought that direct pay permits were kind of an elegant solution to a difficult problem for some taxpayers that would buy in bulk and then use in several locations. I noticed there were some changes to the direct pay permit to basically make it a little bit more difficult for the holder of the direct pay permit and impose a requirement about reconciling and truing up and then possibly facing a penalty. What's going on there?
It's a good question. And candidly, I don't come across direct pay holders that often in Illinois. And I think it's because Illinois does make it a little bit difficult. And it's probably even more difficult now with the new sourcing rules. So a direct pay permit holder in Illinois has to source the sale based on what the vendor would have charged. So just based on what we previously discussed, there's a lot to figure out based on what vendor rate should be charged. Should it be 6.25? And it could be all the way up to 11.25, depending upon where the sale is destined for. And so what happened with the Illinois Department of Revenue, when they reviewed direct pay permit holders, they weren't sourcing things correctly, and they were just simply using the 6.25 use tax rate. And so what the state has now done is, effective March 31st of 25, they're requiring direct pay permit holders to review their previous 12-month transactions. And if they are more than 5% off on the sourcing, there's a $6,000 penalty. And they're supposed to do this on an annual basis. And the difficult thing about a direct pay permit holder is they have to know what the vendor should have charged. And so they have to probably work with the vendor and understand, did this inventory originate from out of state? Did it originate from in-state? Using the composite of selling activities test previously, it could be a number of locations within the state or out of the state. So it's difficult at a very minimum for a direct pay permit holder. So I think they're doing the best they can. And I think going forward, direct pay permit holders are going to have to implement processes to make sure that they're sourcing correctly with this new penalty provision that will go into effect March 31st of 25.
Yes. So I would be a minority of one, most likely in Illinois. That's a challenge, as you say, in the consulting world. How about we switch over to Chicago?
Yeah, Chicago didn't want to be left out. Mayor Johnson had a difficult time getting his budget passed, and it passed almost 4 or 5 weeks later in the year than it normally does. And in order to get the budget to pass, Mayor Johnson, first he was seeking to increase property taxes significantly, and that was one of the concessions he gave. In order to fill close to $1 billion budget deficit, some of the taxes that they imposed were increased, most notably the Chicago lease tax. Chicago lease tax is sort of an obscure tax. Those in the city of Chicago are familiar with it, but those that sell into the city of Chicago often get caught by surprise. It was a 9% tax. It is now an 11% tax. And the tax is imposed upon things you would think. When you hear a lease tax, it's imposed on copiers, leasing of furniture, leasing of cars in the city of Chicago. But it's also imposed upon a non-possessory use of a computer. You may ask yourself, what the heck is the non-possessory use of a computer? More simply stated, software as a service, cloud services, use of AWS or Azure, infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, all that falls under the non-possessory use of computer. The instance of the tax is the access point. So it isn't a portionable tax, but if I'm using a cloud-based application in Illinois, and all I have is a username and password, so nothing was actually delivered to me, it will be subject to the lease tax now after 1/1/25 at 11%. It is worth noting that the state of Illinois currently does not tax software as a service or cloud-based applications. So only access points from the city of Chicago are subject to this tax. What also catches people by surprise here is that delivered software in Illinois is usually taxable at the state level. And prior to 1/1/25, there was a regulation. It was Regulation 130-1935, and it had a simple 5-part test, which, if you met this 5-part test, otherwise normally taxable canned software was not exempt from tax, but it was excluded from taxation. And if that software was delivered to the city of Chicago, the city said, well, if it's excluded, it must not be a sale. And if it's not a sale, it has to be a lease. And so software that was excluded from taxation under that regulation that was delivered to the city of Chicago was taxable. Now, we noted the sourcing changes in Illinois at the top of the podcast. In that same bill, they took that regulation and they codified it. And now it is an exemption. And that exemption still, if it's exempt at the state level, but the software was delivered to Chicago, it still will be picked up by the Chicago lease tax. So that's what catches a lot of people by surprise. So the lease tax not only applies to the lease of a copier, it applies to your use of Salesforce.com or any kind of research tools that are cloud-based, and it potentially applies to delivered software Usually that's purchased under an enterprise agreement. And the five-part test has things like restricts use and duplication, restricts sub-licensing. The hardest part of that five-part test is a signature by both parties, the licensee and the licensor. And it used to be dogmatic that it had to be a wet ink signature on a paper software license agreement. The state has advanced a little bit and they're now allowing DocuSign signatures. So, but if the document is signed, it can meet the five-part test. And now, after 1/1/25, will be an exemption, which used to be an exclusion prior to that time. So that's the big change with the lease tax. I know I kind of spit out a lot there. There were other changes.
Just on the lease tax, if I'm paying it now on an item or service, it goes from 9 to 11.
Correct.
And if I'm not paying it, it's probably worth looking at because it captures in particular some uses of software that are not taxable at the state level, and that often catches people up.
Yeah, it catches a lot of vendors of software as a service by surprise, especially newer companies that don't have automated tax functions yet, and they're still calculating tax sort of by hand on invoices. So it catches the vendors by surprise, and those in the city should know about it, but it does get missed occasionally. And there's two things. There's a possible exposure because they're not being charged the tax and they should be self-assessing it. But there's also an opportunity for some users that may be charging tax because they're billed two addresses in Chicago and they're being billed tax on 100% of that use. And as I said, it isn't a portioned tax. So if I only have 10% of my employees accessing it from the city of Chicago and the other 90% are accessing it elsewhere, technically only 10% of the charge is subject to tax in Illinois. So there could be potential refund opportunities if people want to review their purchases.
All right. Well, enough fun with the personal property lease transaction tax. Some other things that went on.
In addition to the lease tax increase, there was an increase in the amusement tax for pay TV and electronically delivered amusements. And that went from a 9% rate to a 10.25% rate. So streaming services, video games that are online, any kind of online amusement where the patron or customer doesn't take possession, it's just a streaming service. That is now going to be 10 and a quarter in the city of Chicago. So that's gone up. So it probably going to impact more of our clients personally in the city of Chicago. And for those that are providing these services, they need to make sure they adjust their rates from 9% to 10 and a quarter. In addition, for retailers in the city of Chicago, we have a bag tax. And the bag tax used to be a 7 cent per bag tax, and the retailer was allowed to keep 2 cents of that. So they had to remit 5 cents per bag. The city of Chicago has raised that to 10 cents per bag and reduced the vendor discount to a penny. So they have to remit 9 cents per bag and keep a penny now. So the bag tax has increased as well. And two other taxes that probably impact more of our clients that are living in Chicago are the parking tax. The parking tax has gone up to 23.25% just for the city. That doesn't include Cook County, doesn't include the state parking tax. And instead of having a tiered tax based on the day and the time, it's 23.25% 7 days a week. In addition to that, they've added a new fee to the ground transportation tax. So if you take a cab, an Uber, or a Lyft in the city of Chicago between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m., after 1/1/25, there'll be an additional $1.50 charge.
Combination of those two would suggest you should buy some sturdy shoes
Yeah.
if you live in the city of Chicago
Or use public transportation.
or use public transportation. Some others try to get at it with the congestion fee or something like that. I got it. Those all became effective January 1.
Yeah, and that's significant because the laws I'm just talking about passed on Monday, December 16th. Basically, they're giving vendors 2 weeks to adjust their rates. So it's not a lot of time and it's not a lot of consideration on behalf of the city of Chicago. Now, I say that all of those go into effect on January 1st. The ground transportation doesn't go into effect for some reason until January 6th of 25.
Can go out on New Year's Eve and
Yeah.
right. Anything else we should know about?
No, I think we covered quite a bit. The big things are changes to the sourcing rules of the state of Illinois, changes to how we're taxing leases in the state of Illinois, and then the increases in the city of Chicago rates. I mean, those are things that are going to impact just about anybody that's doing business in the state of Illinois, the city of Chicago, or that is selling into the state of Illinois.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Drew. I've learned a lot. We appreciate you joining us, and we will look forward perhaps to having you back again in the future. A fun fact on Illinois, for those that are listening, Richard J. Daley, who was the mayor of the city of Chicago from 1955 to 1976, also served as the Illinois Director of Revenue under Governor Adlai Stevenson from 1948 to 1950. Former Illinois Director of Revenue pointed that out to me. So thank you all for listening, and we hope you keep joining us on our Twist podcasts.
Harley, thanks for having me.
Take care, Drew.